When you are waiting, just chanting Buddha or breathing in and breathing out, don't waste any time. Body move, sense your body move. Breathing in, feel your body, feel your mind. Keep sensing your body and mind in a relaxed way. It's not something difficult. It's not something misery. Lungpa said, the people who are sitting here, their minds are restless. Their minds are lost in thought. Their mindfulness is lacking. So Lungpa said, observe your body and your mind. Lungpa said, don't waste it. Other people's minds are moving along with when you wave your hand. The person sitting next to you, their mind are not calm. Today, Lungpa teach two places at the same time, at Prathat Kot Keo and here. You all at Wat Prathat Kot Keo. Most of you have studied with Lungpa before, especially the ones who are sitting in the front. Lungpa remember their faces. If you study with Lungpa, you will know that the things that Lungpa teach, first of all, is to be able to sense and feel your body and your mind, to observe other people who never practice. They don't see the truth about their body and their mind. For the practitioner, almost 100% are the one who like to control their mind and their body, but when they don't practice, their mind just got lost. And when they think about Dhamma practice, they start controlling their body and their mind to be calm. The right practice is about being natural, being relaxed, and feel, observe your body and your mind in the most natural way. Don't distort, don't control your body and your mind. Most people just forget about their body and their mind, and their mind just got lost in thought. When their mind get lost in thought too much, and the mind is familiar with the state of getting lost in thought, when they die, the next life they become animal. You notice those cats, dogs, when they just sit still, they just sit there and lost in thought, their mind just got lost. In the past, those animals may used to be human being, and they were too familiar with the mind getting lost. So those are the deeds that they have done too much. So when they die, the mind went to the most familiar state, which is to be the mind of animal, the realm of animal is even lower than the being in hell. Being in hell are the being that have so much suffer, but those suffering, those angry can be easily let go. But the animal, their mind just got lost. They don't know what is good, what is bad. The being in hell, they are in hell with anger. When their karma is all used up. They would be born in other realm. So don't let your mind get lost in thoughts or just wandering off, because that's to get your mind familiar with being animal. That's rare case. Long Pa told a story. Long Pa once raised a dog. He picked it up. Long Pa picked it up from his university. That dog that Long Pa raised, that dog never bite anyone, never harm any other animal, never bite anybody, and that dog never steal. When someone left food, no matter how much the dog would like to have that food, they never have it without permission. But Long Pa did not know whether the dog have affair with other dog, because Long Pa never watched it all day long, and that dog, it did not bark without reason. So saying something, talking without necessity, it's not a good thing. You see some dog, they just bark without reason. Bark ear, bark leaf. But that dog never drink alcoholic drinks. So out of the five sila, that dog had at least four. When that dog was about to die, the dog was dying with mindfulness. Its eyes are crystal clear, and the mind was very comfortable, very calm. And that dog, when it died, it went to a better realm. Long Pa contemplate why that dog was like that. That's a dog that can feel its body and its mind. So its next life could be human being, at least could be angel, could be even Brahma. So Long Pa came to a conclusion that in the dog past life, actually the dog was a Dhamma practitioner, but the moment at which that person died, that the mind made a mistake and the mind get lost in thought. So the last moment of that person, when that person died, he or she became a dog. And when that dog was about to die, it has a mindfulness. So it went to a better realm. Most dogs, when they're about to die, they can have lots of anger. So that was a rare case. How did that happen? That dog used to practice a lot. So whenever you see a dog, do not look down on it. Long Pa used to see a dog that is actually Pra Bodhisat, a being that one day will become Buddha. So in the past, some dog could be just like you all here. You want to go, they go to what they practice Dhamma. They practice sometimes they might get lost. But unfortunately, the last moment of their life, they might get lost in thought or wandering off. So their next life become animal. What you have to practice is to keep feeling, sensing, observing your body and your mind, breathing in, breathing out. Stand, walk, sit, lie down. Feel your body at this moment, right at this moment. Just feel your body. Somebody is moving their body, and their mind just too stiff. So that's not a good state of mind to observe the body. So Longpa said, practice Dhamma. Mindfulness is the most important. Breathing out, breathing in, just feel. Or you move your hand, any movement, doesn't matter. But the key is mindfulness. The key is to sense, to feel the body movement. Somebody moves their hands really fluently, but don't actually feel it. So the next life could be animal. So keep practicing. You feel and sense your body movement, your mind movement. When you have a free time, just sit down, breathing out, breathing in. When you just sit down, breathing out, breathing in, and you don't even sense it, you don't even feel it, that's the mind getting lost. So sitting down, breathing out, breathing in, just sense your body and your mind with a relaxed mind. If you don't like breathing practice, so body movement is also okay. The key is to sense and to observe the movement of your body and your mind. It's not about the type of practice that you like. So the right mind has to be soft, have to be active, cannot be dull. A dull mind is not the mind that can feel, that can observe. So the mind that is active, the mind that is suitable to observe, the mind that is not lazy, the mind that works hard actively to observe. And the best one is to actively observe the three common characteristics of the body and the mind. If you just feel your body and your mind, that is Samatha Kammathan. But if the mind can see the three common characteristics of the body and the mind, that is Vipassana Kammathan. You all here, most of you, can observe your body and your mind. So keep observing, keep sensing, keep feeling. Longpa said, What Patakotjao was still listening with the right level of concentration, but the people here, their mind got lost, more than half of them. The people at Wat Suan Sanchitham now is concentrating, but Wat Patakotjao now getting lost their mind. Keep feeling your body and your mind. Stand, walk, sit down, lay down. Or the mind is happy, unhappy, or being neutral. Just sensing it. Just observing them. So Longpa have to switch between the two places. When Longpa talk to the people at Wat Suan Sanchitham, the people at Wat Patakotjao now get lost, the mind get lost. So the beginning point of practice is to naturally feeling your body and your mind. Don't control. If you control, the mind is gonna get stressful, and the mind that is stressful has anger. And that kind of mind, if you die with that kind of a stressful mind, you are going to hell next life. So comfortably relax, feeling your body and your mind, breathing out, breathing in, standing, walking, sitting down, laying down, being happy, being unhappy, the mind that is wandering off, the mind that is craving, the mind that got lost, the mind that has anger. Just observe the mind. Keep observing. If you observe frequently, the first thing you're gonna get is that the mind can have the right kind of meditation, concentration. Most people, they imagine meditation is something too far away. Like you, somebody meditate and their mind move to see heaven or hell. The most important is you meditate and you see your own mind, your own body at the present moment. So the correct type of meditation, you have to see your body and your mind. The mind stay with the body and the mind. That's the right meditation. So the opposite of that state is the mind that got lost. So breathing out, breathing in, feeling your body and your mind. So if you keep practicing, you can feel it all day long. The mind moves just a little bit and you can feel it. Every time the mind moves, because you see something, you hear something, your body come in contact with something, or the mind got lost in thought, whatever the mind or the body come in contact with, the mind will change. So sometimes you think about something, you feel happy. If you have mindfulness, you would know the mind is happy. You think about something, the mind is unhappy, and you can observe that with your mindfulness. Sometimes you think about something, you feel sad, you feel bored. It's not about knowing that thought, it's about knowing the state of mind. So keep observing the state of mind as it truly is. And the first thing you get is the mind will stay with the body and the mind. And what comes next is concentration. And then the mind would be ready for wisdom practice. Observing body, observing the mind, just samatha kammathan. If the mind stay with some object, that is samatha kammathan. But if you can see the changing of the mind, that is vipassana kammathan. Like when you are sitting and listening to Long Pa teaching, you see the mind keep changing. Sometimes you are paying attention something, sometimes the mind just go off. It keep changing. Can you control it? You cannot, and you should not control it. When the mind got lost, just notice that. When the mind feel the body and the mind, just observe that. Now you can feel your body and your mind, and keep doing that. And that is a wisdom practice. And one day you will see everything that come your mind come in contact with. Every single thing is all temporary. They are all changing. Whatever you come in contact with, the state of mind arise and fall. When the body breathe out and the body breathe in, just occur temporarily. The body move, the body stay still. It's just temporarily. So just observe, just feel. When you see that the body and the mind keep changing, and you see that oftenly, that is called vipassana kammathan. When you see that the body keep changing, you keep breathing out, breathing in, you see that the body is actually temporary. You see, when you sit down for a long time, the body becomes stiff and the body just move. And you see, the body move because the body suffer. And you see that suffering of the body. That is also Vipassana Kammathan. Or when you're breathing in and breathing out, you see matter moving into your body. You breathe out, some matter move out of your body. Or when you have some food, you see matter come in and go out of your body, and you see they are just matter. One day the mind will see that the body is just, it's just a house of the mind. The mind live in that house or in that bag, and this body is like a bag that keep breathing in and breathing out. There are matter that move in and move out of that bag all the time. And it's not about moving in and moving out. It happen all the time. Through your skin, to your nose, to your mouth. You're gonna see the body is just a physical matter, and you borrow that physical matter from the world. One day you're gonna have to return it. When you die, they're gonna cremate your dead body, and that dead body become the food for plants, and plants become food for animal, and animal eat animal. You see, so those the physical matters are just keep changing. If you see that, if your mind see that, you see your body is not truly yours. It's just something that you borrow from the world. And you see, the mind can see that the body is just temporary. Watching the mind is the same. The mind is happy and unhappy and keep changing. The mind suffer temporarily. The mind is in a good state or bad state. They are temporary. They all arise and fall. There is no permanent anger. Like when the boy, you know, a young man promised a girl that I will love you forever. It's actually all lying. They just love when they thought about the girl. So there's no eternal love. So just keep feeling what is the reality of the mind. It's all temporary. Goodness, badness, anger, love, envy is all temporary. Somebody got their mind broken heart, and they are sad for a very long time. Actually, the sadness is just temporary. If that person don't think about the one who breaks their heart, they would not be sad. So there's no such feeling that is permanent. So keep observing, keep watching your mind, your body. They are temporary. And the mind will learn that you cannot control your mind. You cannot really order your mind. You cannot tell your mind that be happy all the time. Or when the mind suffer or sad, you cannot control it to be happy. And that's uncontrollable. It's called anatta. When the mind is good, when the mind would like to work hard, practice hard, the mind can only do that for a few days. You cannot really control it. You can control it. You can sense that for only a few days, and the mind keep changing. So keep practicing. At least you have to be able to observe what is the current state of the mind that happening now. If you can see more than that, to see the common characteristic of that state, that is even better. That is wisdom practice. The greatest boon, merit making, is the merit making that consists of mindfulness and wisdom. If, for example, when you give food to the monk and you have to get up early in the morning and you are lazy, you don't want to get up early in the morning, and you see that the mind is lazy, the mind doesn't want to get up. So the mind that can observe that state, that is a great merit making. The merit making that consists of mindfulness and wisdom is a great merit making. Lung Pa gives another example. Some people give $1,000,000 to someone in hope that they will get something much better in return. That is not merit making. With wisdom is the merit making with greed. So that is not a good merit making. But if you give just 10 baht, but you give that 10 baht with mindfulness and wisdom, then that is a better merit making than giving $1,000,000 without wisdom. So Long Pa also said, when you practice and you see your body moving, that is better than just sitting down and meditate and the mind just be calm. The mind that is calm, you can go to become Brahma or angel. But the mind that see the changing of the mind may go to Nirvana, because that mind knows the truth, the noble truth about the body and the mind. So the mind that know, that see, that wisdom is the mind that truly know the four noble truth that Buddha teach. So the mind that actually see that everything is temporarily suffering and uncontrollable, like the body is suffering, the body has to keep changing, just keep observing. One day the mind can destroy the wrong view and the mind will get the right view, and then the mind would get enlightenment and craving will no longer exist in your mind. Long Pa said it's not difficult. You see, you all can sense that your body sometimes is making you feel happy, sometimes the body suffer, and you see your mind sometimes is happy, sometimes it's unhappy, and that is the mind is not truly know the Four Noble Truth. Because if the mind and the body can still see that it can be happy, the body and the mind will seek to find that happiness. And that seeking, that mind movement, is the mind that creates a new state of mind that the mind will then come to possess. So the mind will keep moving and suffer. So investigate, study your own mind to see that your mind can only sense sometimes the mind is happy and unhappy, but the enlightened one never see that the mind is happy sometimes, unhappy sometimes. The enlightened one only see that the mind is suffering a little bit or suffering a lot. It's all suffering. Pa Arahant only see that the body is always suffering and the mind itself is suffering. But ordinary people just see that the body and the mind temporarily happy and temporarily unhappy. But the enlightened one don't see it that way. The enlightened one see that it's a little bit suffering or a lot of suffering. So Buddha taught that there is nothing except suffering. Nothing arise but suffering. Nothing fall but suffering. It's all suffering. Our body and mind are themselves suffering. And that is truly know suffering. So when the mind know, believe, see that the mind is all suffering, the mind will stop having that craving for happiness, and that is a mind that is ready to enlighten. So Nirvana is the state of the mind that let go and cease to have wanting or craving. And you see, your mind don't see that truth, so the mind wants happiness, and your mind wants happiness, does not want unhappiness. So because your mind don't see the truth, the mind keeps moving and seeking. But if the mind see the truth, the mind will stop moving, and the mind will abandon craving permanently. You see, you all are not Pa'alahan. You can only temporarily let go of your wanting and your craving. When you have craving or wanting something, and you observe that wanting, and sometimes you can just let it go, the next time your kilesa occur again, you observe it and you can let it go again. But whenever you see truly that the mind is all suffering, craving will disappear permanently, and that is the miracle of Buddha teaching. Other people can only see that wanting and craving make the mind suffer. Other religion in the past, they know this too. They know that wanting and craving make the mind suffer, but they don't know the truth about the path that the mind can let go of that one thing. So other religion in the past, they just torture their body and their mind, and keep torturing the body and the mind so that the mind would not seek happiness. But the craving behind that is that they want to be truly happy. That's why they torture their body and their mind. So they only can see that if they don't let their kilesas possess their action, then they can be happy. Only Buddha have more wisdom than that. The only way you can truly be happy is to let go of craving, and to let go of craving is to actually learn what is truly suffering, and that is the body and the mind themselves are suffering. The word suffering in the Four Noble Truths is that the mind, the body, the matter, and the non-matter, they all are suffering. Body and mind, matter and non-matter, they are all suffering. When the mind truly see that, the mind would truly let go of craving, because the mind that see it is all suffering, the mind would not seek anymore, and the mind that stop seeking will be the mind that is truly let go. No more fabrication, no more sensual desire, and the mind would reach Nirvana, the mind would attain the ultimate happiness. So when you practice, you will notice that your mind always changing between happy and unhappy. But when you see a great teacher, even when they are very sick, no matter how sick they are, their body very old, but the great teacher's mind, the mind always happy. The mind that has practiced enough, the mind will not have any craving, and the mind would have the true happiness. So you all here have opportunity to achieve that same happiness. But you have to work hard, you have to keep practicing, you have to observe the truth about your body and your mind. Keep observing, keep feeling, one day that you truly see the truth about your body and your mind, and you will no longer suffer because of your body and your mind. Are they at risk? You see that the mind itself is suffering. Your mind will stop and suffer from your own mind. And that's the end of suffering. So, the noble truth is for the mind to see that the mind itself is suffering, and the mind would let go, and the mind would never pick up itself again, and the mind would never fabricate another state. There is no next life. The mind is the supporting factor for getting the body and the mind. If the mind never fabricate, there is no next life, no more body and mind. If you don't practice enough, you don't know that being born is suffering. Why is that? Because you forget. In your past life, you suffer until you die. You reborn and you forget all that. Anybody here remember how you suffer in your past life? Longpa is telling a story. There's a great teacher, Longpa Kim. Longpa once asked Longpa Kim why Longpa Kim practiced so hard until he achieved enlightenment. Longpa Kim said, I remember my past life. Once I was born as a cow. In the morning, the owner of the cow brought that cow to the middle of the farm, and they tied that cow so that the cow can eat some grasses. And the owner went to run some errand, and the owner thinks that he gonna go shortly, but for some reason he went for the whole day, and that cow was in the middle of the farm. There's no tree, no shade. It's very hot. The cow was very thirsty. The cow suffered a lot, and the cow waiting for the owner to come back through the afternoon. It's a lot of heat. When someone come around, the cow was so glad. The cow keep jumping because the cow thought somebody gonna bring me water. But anybody that come near see that the cow is jumping, so they thought the cow gone mad. And Longpa Kim said whenever he remember that what happened in that life, he see a lot of suffering, and he say the cycle of being reborn is so suffering. Now the problem is you all forget past life. You reborn and you become happy at the beginning, and when you are about to die, you suffer again. So next life, you forget that suffering again. So the cycle of being reborn, it hides this suffering. So the only way to go out of this cycle is to follow Buddha teaching and to see the truth about your body and your mind. So keep trying, keep practicing. You are here before you arrive at this moment. You have reborn infinite time. You have gone through lots of suffering. Suffering until you die is uncountable time. But you forget. So only Buddha teaching that you can see your body and your mind truthfully. One day you have the ultimate wisdom. You're gonna see what you learn from Vipassana Kammathana can only destroy What is hiding that truth, that suffering? You see, even God or angel, when they think about their past life, they remember that they do a lot of merit making, a lot of good deeds. They remember they do good, they become angel, and they become happy. And those angels don't remember suffering. You see, even angel, they remember their past life, but they only remember the happiness. They don't see that one day they're gonna die, that those angels. And when angels are about to die, they also suffer. So the cycle of reborn is very frightening. Only Vipassana Kammathan can lead you out of that cycle. So one day when they might see the noble truth, they might can let go. And all of this teaching are not ideal, it's real. It's Nirvana is real. The path to the end of suffering is real. In the era where there is no Buddha teaching, the being with wisdom, they also think about Nirvana. There's a bird, a peacock in the past. A story about the past. That peacock remember something about Nirvana. That peacock does not know how to stop suffering. The peacock does not know, but peacock knows that is Nirvana. So peacock said, I want to pay respect to Dhamma that would lead to the end of suffering, and I would pay respect to the enlightened one. In even other religions, they want to go to somewhere that is freedom from suffering. They want to go to Nirvana. They just don't know how to get there. Some religion in the past, they want to go, but they don't know the path, so they're just torturing themselves. But you all here know the path now. Buddha teach about the path to the end of suffering. It's mindfulness. It's concentration the right way. It's wisdom. It's seeing the three common characteristics of the body and the mind. One day, when you practice enough, you're gonna go. You're gonna get enlightened. If you don't practice enough, you have to keep practicing until your practice is fulfilled. Somebody practice and get enlightenment very quickly. Somebody practice very, very difficult. There are the people who practice with a lot of difficulty but gain enlightenment quickly, or practice with a lot of difficulty and can progress slowly. Some people practice easily and gain enlightenment easily. Some people practice easily but gain enlightenment slowly. So it depends on whether you have a lot of kilesa. Having a lot of kilesa, you have to practice the hard way. You have little kilesa, you practice more easily. If you have practice enough, you're gonna get enlightenment quickly. If you have not collect enough practice, it's gonna take you a long time. So keep practicing. Longpa is teaching about the next Buddha that will come to the earth. The next Buddha is the Buddha who like to teach about practicing hard, working hard, But the current Buddha that we are learning from his teaching is the wisdom type of Buddha, and it's the quicker path to enlightenment. So when you keep practicing enough, your mind gonna be familiar with practicing. When they die, they reborn, their mind is still familiar with practicing. So the next life, they can practice easily and attain enlightenment quickly. So if you have not practiced enough your next life, you're gonna practice with difficulty again, and you're gonna attain enlightenment slowly. So in this life, just keep practicing, just keep working, just keep doing merit making, but you have to do it the right way. If you don't do your merit making with mindfulness and wisdom, it's gonna take you a long time. What Lung Po is teaching, if you follow, it's gonna take you a short time to get out of this cycle of reborn. But if you don't practice vipassana, it's gonna take you a long time before you go out of this cycle of being reborn. So it's time for question and answer. Lung Po said that is enough teaching for today.